the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
MicroStrategy is a company that has rocked the financial world with a strategy of betting big on Bitcoin. Today, it owns nearly 480,000 Bitcoin, equivalent to about 2% of all Bitcoin ever issued. And it's paying with that with spare cash and then plenty of borrowings on top. The average price paid by MicroStrategy was just over $62,000 a coin, which puts it handsomely in profit with Bitcoin now trading close to $100,000. Investors who don't want the hassle of holding and custodying Bitcoin can buy MicroStrategy shares as a form of proxy. Its stock price is up about 10 times since 2023. MicroStrategy founder Michael Saylor has become perhaps the world's loudest evangelist for Bitcoin. Now, a South African company called Altvest Capital is taking a similar route. It's announced that it will adopt Bitcoin as its primary treasury reserve asset and has applied to regulators for permission to raise about 200 million rand by selling shares to increase its treasury stockpile. Well, it's time we find out a bit more about this. So we're joined by CEO Warren Wheatley to find out more. Hi, Warren. Thank you very much for your time. The parallels between what you're doing and MicroStrategy will be obvious to anyone who's been following this space. But what led to this decision to adopt Bitcoin as your primary reserve asset?
Kieran, thanks. And thank you for having me. Glad to be discussing this. What led to this is it's just been a keen observation of how the markets are unfolding, both and it's not only the USA. This is happening across the world, across the major bourses. So there's good examples in Hong Kong. A company called Moon Inc. was just a few days ahead of us in announcing this. It's also happened in Japan. With a company who's abandoned their strategy of buying hotels, they called MetaPlanet. But what's really informed this is a keen observation of the markets, but also a very detailed study by myself, my executive, and our board of directors into what Bitcoin means to financial markets, what it means to balance sheets, and how it can be used as a treasury. But you know, that's part of the purpose. This treasury function is a precursor to us raising more capital and making these products available, Bitcoin specifically, available to the public and institutions in ways that we think are more creative and more secure and better governed than just buying these instruments or buying Bitcoin on the open market. So that's really the idea. From a treasury perspective, you know, the mathematics is quite simple. You look at what your cost of capital is, what you've promised shareholders, and when you consider the alternatives of where to maintain or hold your available reserves, the answer really always just ends up being Bitcoin. And it doesn't matter what assets you analyze over what time periods, you know, all roads lead to Bitcoin. It is volatile. The volatility is reducing significantly. And we've also got great examples to learn from. So MicroStrategy is a great one. I wish, though, I had had $500 million to start the project off with. Sadly, we don't. And that's why we bought the modest sum of one Bitcoin. My challenge is to replicate the strategy without the massive amount of reserves that some of our counterparts or peers who are doing the same thing have. But I have the benefit of being young, nimble, and out the box thinking, and so we carry on and move forward with stealth.
Okay, very good. So yeah, you recently bought one Bitcoin. I think was for about 1.8 million rand. So if you raise 200 million and you get permission to do that, you'll end up with about 100 or maybe 110 Bitcoin. Now, the reasons you've given was you want to preserve shareholder value. You want to mitigate currency depreciation risks. That's very understandable. But you also want your shareholders to get some exposure to a globally recognized store of value. My question is, how hard was it to sell this strategy to your board?
If you have a peek at our website, and I hope many of your listeners and readers and viewers do, and it says it in the name, right? AltVest. We are an alternative investment company. So our board is used to me presenting crazy ideas. And we've presented crazy ideas, you know. Let's invest in a lodge on the Sabi River. Let's invest in a family restaurant in Melville. Let's do private credit. Let's do the Springboks. So they're pretty battle-hardened. But moreover, I selected them for them being out-the-box thinkers. You know, all the way from our chairman, Stafford, who's a tech entrepreneur, a Bitcoin maximalist, all the way through to Gigi Alcock, who is, exploring ways of modernizing and democratizing township economies. The guys are quite open to discussion, provided I do the work, I do the research, and I present a cogent case for shareholder value creation and shareholder protection. They're quite open to discussion. So that wasn't terribly difficult. And what helped is that there's plenty of research and precedent that's been created over the last few months. And so that was fine. I do need to do the homework though. And that's done. We're going to be putting that homework up on the website, available to shareholders. And we're going to be doing a lot of disclosures voluntarily outside of what's actually required in terms of legislation. And that is an attempt to, you know, just be completely transparent, put out and lay out and map out our thinking so that people can buy into the strategy along with us and join us voluntarily for the journey.
Okay, now, this is a fairly radical approach. You are listed on the stock exchange. You came into the stock exchange, I think, in September last year. What has been the response to this announcement that you are going to adopt Bitcoin as your primary treasury reserve asset?
All right. So let me carve that up. AltVest Capital is regulated or overseen by a number of regulatory bodies in the country, you know, from the JSE to the FSCA to the SARB to Excon, the Prudential Authority. We've got a number of people watching us. What I can say is that provided you play within the prescribed rules and limitations, every single regulatory body has been open to us exploring this in a very controlled way. They've been open and solution orientated in the way they think about it, and have been very willing to work with us in solving a lot of the issues in pursuance of, you know, finding the appropriate mechanisms to deal with this from a regulatory perspective. What I can tell you is, from a regulatory and legislation perspective, South Africa is probably in the top 10 in how advanced our thinking about these issues are. And we've found that our regulators are progressive and willing to talk and engage on these issues. Having said that, there are procedures to go through, and it's always frustrating for entrepreneurs, but we didn't find an unwilling regulator that's not willing to engage and solve the issues. I think they're very cognizant of the fact that this is a tsunami that needs to be dealt with. And I think they're dealing with it with the best minds we have at our disposal in the country. And everyone is quite open to figuring out the solutions. So that's the regulatory side. the market has reacted some with some skepticism. It's immediately improved the share's liquidity. So, you know, we're on the Altex, and liquidity is not great on the best of days. But suddenly I have a full sell book and a full buy order book. And it's wonderful for someone on the Altex to have that. It doesn't often happen. Bitcoiners across the world in every single language have tweeted, reposted, commented, and I think the announcement must have been seen by at least 2 to 3 million people, retweeted by as many, and there's been an overwhelmingly positive response from the crypto markets worldwide. So I'm quite pleased with how it's been received. You know, every company that does this has different experiences when they do the announcement and as they proceed. I'm quite pleased with how our experience has panned out.
Okay, Warren, you're also planning to acquire a stake in the Springboks brand, which you obviously see has got enormous commercial potential. Tell us about that. I mean, you are an alternative investment company, so maybe this is not that strange.
All right, so to understand the Springbok bid, I do need to do a slight precursor to Altvest, right? So Altvest Capital, and why we built it, was to solve or to assist in solving two particular problems. The first problem, of course, is to help SMEs or businesses or entrepreneurs in the country raise capital. And we assist them in doing so by creating a mechanism through which those entrepreneurs can access public markets. Long story short, you can think of us in two ways. You could call us a regulated stokvel, where the public all contribute to a single objective, and the stokvel uses the funds raised to achieve an outcome, or a crowdfunding platform that's regulated. Bambanani is an example. We raised fairly large amounts of capital for a small family restaurant, largely from our customer base. And the customers and patrons and staff, everyone contributed through subscription for an instrument that is listed on the exchange or an exchange. And those proceeds were used to grow the business and the brand. And that talks to the second objective, in that we want to break some of the hurdles around ordinary people participating in alternative asset investment. You know, for example, private equity, venture capital, or even seed capital investing is a concept that is so outside the realm of the retail investor that people don't even know how to think about it properly. And, you know, family offices from across the country or across the world get presented these opportunities. You know, here's a portfolio of venture capital opportunities, or here's a portfolio of private equity opportunities, or here's a wind farm or a bridge or something exciting, something that has risk metrics that don't mimic the stock market, so not correlated, but also offer the potential of returns so outside of the normal stock market expectations that, you know, it's unheard of. Altvest Capital tries to make alternative investment opportunities available to ordinary South Africans. And these are opportunities ranging from private equity, which is an asset class only available to pension funds and family offices or high net worth individuals, all the way through to something like private credit, which is one of the fastest growing asset classes in the world. But again, in South Africa, you know, our competitors have minimums where they're offered either through an endowment policy. And if you want to invest in endowments, you better make sure your tax rate is above 40%. Alternatively, they've got minimum investment amounts that make the asset class completely unavailable or exclusive to high net worth individuals. You know, so if you think about private credit and think that I'd like to add it to my portfolio of investments, you wouldn't want it to be more than 5%. But if there's a minimum of, let's say, R1 million, that means your portfolio would need to be many times that size to accommodate an investment into private credit. So AltVest breaks all those barriers down. We've got a private credit fund. We invite retail investors to invite from as little as R3 a share. We're going to be bringing various opportunities, venture capital, seed capital, Chinese venture capital. And where this started, the Springboks, what we want to do is allow for ownership of the Springboks to be held by, number one, the players and the fans. Because those are the two groups of people that drive the value of the brand. And without either of them, there is no brand. And who better to own that and to invest in that than those two groups of people? The deal we try to disrupt with Ackley Sports Group was one where, again, a private equity fund that is probably funded by pension funds and family offices comes and buys the South African crown jewels. We threw our hat in the ring and said, there's no need them. We've got capital in the country. Moreover, we've got one of the most loyal fan bases in the world. Why not ask them to fund us and have them own a brand that they love and adore so much and raise the capital in that way? Saru were quite open to the idea, but there's, again, a process to go through, which we're quite happy to do. There's some stiff competition with, you know, some other competing bids. But we're not a winner-takes-all kind of entity, or I'm not that kind of guy. I'm quite open to partnerships. I'm quite open to working with anyone else, just so long as our philosophy and ethos can be imputed into the process. I want players to own shares, and I'd love fans and ordinary South Africans to own shares in the brand. And that's how we... that's how we structure ourselves. And it's the same with Bitcoin. A lot of people are intimidated by going into Bitcoin. You know, the custody and, you know, multisig and all these other protocols for securing your Bitcoin seem daunting and will remain daunting for a lot of people. And so we want to give people access to the asset in ways that they've become comfortable with. Equally, though, you know, access to a regulated listed instrument, eventually, if we get the approvals that we seek in, gives a lot of people comfort. People have faith in our institutions in the country, in particular the JSE. And the crypto world is still awash with, you know, scandals. As recently as Friday, there was a large hack of a big exchange where $1.5 billion of Ethereum coins were stolen, apparently by, you know, North Korean hackers. And, you know, so things like that continue to happen. And people are willing to want to take the risk, but through trusted platforms. And we're hoping we could be one of those.
How do you expect regulators to react to your application? You want to raise $200 million for Bitcoin. Have you had initial discussions? What's the feedback been like?
So, like I mentioned earlier, the regulators are open to the discussion. What I need to say is, from a regulatory perspective, let me just quickly paint out where South Africa is. Bitcoin and certain other crypto assets are now governed and under the purview of the Financial Services Conduct Authority, the FSCA, right? They've been classified as financial instruments, and so they are governed by the Financial Markets Act. And so we've got a regulatory framework or legal framework for how to deal with these. However, that regulatory framework doesn't extend all the way through to all investors. In other words, right now, Regulation 28, which governs what pension funds can invest in, still prohibits crypto. Number two, there's a working paper that all the stakeholders have agreed to. It's a position paper on crypto and crypto adoption. And that contains a clause that prevents JSE companies or any listed companies from investing in crypto products or assets and creating derivative type products on those on a regulated exchange. That clause is outdated and needs to be removed from that working paper. And there's a committee looking at the mechanisms to do so. So our process has been to put in front of the committee a working example as to why that clause can be successfully removed. If you think about it right now, these instruments are available to the public in less governed, less controlled, less monitored platforms. You know, so any South African could go onto almost any exchange across the world and buy Bitcoin. And our regulators recognize the absurdity of that and are working quite furiously, I think, to have these assets or these instruments available through more regulated, more governed, more monitored platforms. And so we found them very willing to engage, very willing to work with us and very open to the prospect. But you know, regulators need to take their time, consider all the risks. And I appreciate from my perspective that their risk profile is different to mine. The world of their risks is different to mine. And so my job is to remain patient and open and engaging, which I'm doing and trying to do. But from their perspective, we found them to be quite willing and, you know, open to engagement and they've been very solution orientated in the way they've approached this.
That's interesting. And I see your share price is up about 10% since the announcement on Friday. So the response from the market, from the retail side, seems to be quite positive.
It was down 10%, so it's back.
It's come back up, yeah.
Yeah. Kieran, it's also relative. You know, I think One Oak bought like 3 shares at that price. It helps me sleep better, but I try not to lose sleep. Of course, I prefer higher share prices than low ones, but there's not much to be read because the liquidity is still not where it is. We continue to track it. It's a lot more liquid, and there is a functional order book finally, which is the thing I'm most pleased about. But I wouldn't read too much into the 10% increase, but equally so, nor the 10% decrease. I think we're still finding a way. The market's still not quite sure how to approach us or what to make of us. And I thank you guys for this interaction where we can start becoming, you know, more acquainted with the market and the investors. So, you know, any opportunity to talk about what we're doing is very appreciated.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to leave it there. That was Warren Wheatley, who is the Chief Executive Officer of AltVest Capital.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.